How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying stuff 16. What do we get up to? Alright. Stuff 16. Sech above Messiah, friend. Yo, so we're still gotta kinda continue in with this like Reuven stealing from Shimon, selling to Levi kind of stuff. Interesting stuff. Give all the good stuff. I don't know if it's interesting, but it's great. Which is interesting. Like, I feel like the cool thing about these dafs is that they're amazing. Not necessarily that they're so interesting, but they're just awesome. If that makes sense. Okay. So here's the dealio. This is the third daf I'm recording today. The last two dafs were ridiculous. And I'm doing the third one all in one day. Which means A, I'm exhausted. B, I actually didn't finish reviewing the whole daf, so I'm going to do today's daf in two sittings. I'll do first like decent chunk, and then I think actually the rest of it isn't so long, but I'm running out of time. Shabbos is in less than an hour, so I just figured, you know what, let me sit down, because I'm still catching up from London, right? So I'm like, if I get this done, I'll just be like a touch behind, which is manageable. Okay, so we're going to start off to Zayin Omud Aleph at the two dots. Pshita, this is so geschmack. Okay, so this is talking about, should I do my little song and dance? Well, I don't know, we'll see. If I need to, I will. Okay, wait, whoa, one sec. Babel, let's stretch, one sec. Shnikes. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Okay, so we're talking about awesome stuff. Where Reuven stole a field from Shimon. And then he sold it to Levi, but then he's like, wait a second. This isn't good. I don't want Shimon to take it away from Levi, and then Levi's gonna be all upset with me. And so he buys it back from Shimon. And Rav said that basically whatever, you know, so Reuven's not gonna go back now and say to Levi, like, oh, it's my field, you need to give it to me. No, he bought it so that like he could put this behind him and it's Levi's, and then that's done. So, fine. So the Shaila is, so said the Gemara, says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious that Zavna Orta V'yayva B'matone Lav L'ukma Kami L'keach Kaboy. This is interesting stuff. So, if Reuven stole a field from Shimon and then sold it to Levi, and then, can you imagine the son of a gun? He sold it to Yehuda. Oy, son of a gun. Again, listen to this guy, the chutzpah. Reuven steals a field from Shimon, sells it to Levi, and then also sells it to Yehuda. Oh, yeah, mechutzif. Oh, yeah. That's some nerve. That is some nerve. Anyways, we've been talking about if Reuven steals a field from Shimon and sells it to Levi, but then he buys it back from Shimon. So maybe he's trying to, you know, straighten out things and you know, he wants to try to, you know, yeah, straighten things out and move on. But if he oichid sold it to Yehuda, he's not looking to straighten things out. By purchasing the field from Shimon, he's not trying to straighten things out. He's already sold it to Yehuda already. I mean, this guy's making a mess. Or if he bequeathed it to his son. I don't really know what that means. What does that mean? Like in his lifetime, he's saying, here, it's yours? Maybe. V'yayva b'matana, or if he gave it as a gift to Yehuda. But in any of these scenarios, right, pshita lav l'ukma kame l'keach kabay, when he then goes and buys the field back from Shimon, well, not back. When he buys the field from Shimon, he's not looking to straighten things out. He's already made things even worse. Sold it to another person, gave it to another person as a gift, gave it to his child. I mean, he's just getting worse and worse. Buying it from Shimon is not to straighten things out. It's too late to straighten things out. And now in the scenario where, let's say, who's Shimon, right? Reuven stole from Shimon. Who's Shimon? Shimon is Reuven's father, let's say. So Reuven stole from his father, Shimon, then sold it to Levi. Now, Shimon, his father, dies, so Reuven Mimela inherits the field. So that is not, so he now owns the field, but he owns it because he didn't do anything. He didn't buy it, right? Then if Reuven steals it from a random guy named Shimon, and then he goes and he buys it back, when he buys it from Shimon, okay, so he's indicating that, you know, he wants to put this behind him and straighten things out. If Shimon was his father and his father died, and now Reuven owns it, but not because he bought it, just because his father's dead and he's not, he didn't do anything for it. So that's no indication that he's looking to kind of, you know, fix things. So Nafle Birusha, I'm reading that again. Birusha Memele, Vilav Iu, Kotara Chabasa. That if he inherited the field, so, and now he owns it because he inherited it, that just kind of comes automatically. He didn't do anything for it, and there's no indication that he's trying to straighten things out. Gobi Iu Bechovo. Interesting. What if Shimon was somebody who owed Reuven money? That's interesting. So Reuven at one point had lent Shimon money. I guess Shimon now owes him money. Reuven then goes and steals Shimon's field, sells it to Levi. And then Reuven says to Shimon, look, Shimon, you owe me money. Just give me your field. So Chazina, we look, we see. E is le ara achrise. Omer haibo ino. So if Shimon has more than one field, but Reuven says, I want this field. Well then, So he's specifically trying to, you know, straighten out the story and straighten things out vis-a-vis Levi, which is why he specifically wants this field. But if Shimon doesn't have any other fields, and Reuben's just saying to Shimon, like, hey Shimon, give me this field instead of paying me, well, then he just wants to get paid. It has nothing to do with trying to straighten things out with Levi. Okay. Yaiva nirle b'matone, or what if Shimon gave the field to Reuven as a gift? Interesting. Reuven steals the field from Shimon, sells it to Levi, and then Shimon gives the field as a gift to Reuven. So on the one hand, so plige bo revacha v'ravino. So on the one hand, one of them says that a gift is betzim no different than an inheritance, right? We said that when it comes to if Shimon is Reuven's father and Reuven inherits the properties, we said there's absolutely no indication there that Reuven's trying to straighten things out with Levi. But if Shimon is not Reuven's father necessarily, but Shimon is whatever, Reuven stole the field from Shimon. Shimon then gives it to Reuven as a gift. So on the one hand, we could say it's basically no different than inheriting something. Reuven did absolutely nothing to get this field, and therefore, by Reuven now owning this field, there is no indication that he's trying to straighten things out with Levi. But v'chadam, or the other opinion, though, the other way to look at this is matone kemecher. That actually, Shimon giving it to Reuven as a gift should be treated the same way as Reuven buying it from Shimon, because why do you think Shimon gave it to Reuven as a gift? Just because he loves him so much? Maybe Shimon gave it to Reuven as a gift because Reuven was going out of his way to kind of, you know, set things up so that Shimon, you know, increases chances of Shimon giving it to him as a gift. And why would Reuven go out of his way to kind of like create a scenario in which Shimon would say, hey Reuven, why don't you take this field as a gift? Probably because he has an interest in straightening things out with Levi. Right? The other way of looking at this is that a gift should be treated like a purchase. The ilav de Torah, if not that Reuven put in the legwork and toiled, the artsy kame, and got on Shimon's really, really good side, lo have yoev le matono. Shimon would not simply just give Reuven real estate as a gift. The torach ve'artzi kame, where am I? So lahochi torach, and this is why Reuven put in all this work to set himself up to receive this gift from Shimon. Lahochi torach ve'artzi kame, ki eichi de leikum ve'nusei, so that ultimately he would be able to be a man of his word vis-a-vis Levi, and nobody's going to come and take the field away from Levi. Okay. Ve'ad Amos nichale delekum pe'nuse. So, oh gosh, 1 second. Gosh, I had just eaten a geshmaka clementine from Eretz Yisrael. And then I noticed it was like something like bothering me, stuck in my teeth. I was like, oh, that's going to drive me nuts. It's gone now. Where are we? So, okay. Vad Amos. So now, when Raved said that if, you know, Reuben steals a field from Shimon, sells it to Levi, then he buys the field from Shimon. So we say, well, this is an indication that Reuben wants to straighten things out with Levi. Until what point? You know, is there a certain point at which if Reuben buys the field from Shimon, maybe it is not in it, maybe he has ulterior motives, other than to try to be a good guy? So, until what point in time? Until Levi takes him to din. Meaning, Reuven stole a field from Shimon, sold it to Levi. Shimon goes to Levi and says, Levi, that's my field. Levi then takes Reuven to Bezdin, at which point Reuven says, Shimon, why don't I purchase it from you? At that point, he's purchasing it because he realizes he's going to be in big trouble, not because he wants to do the right thing. Okay, so Amarvuna Chasamar Bedin. Chio bar Rav Omar ad dematra ad drachta liyodin. Well, if so Chio bar Rav says it's until the point when, okay, so Reuven had stolen the field from Shimon, sold it to Levi. Shimon goes to Levi and says, Levi, you got to give me that field, it's mine. Levi then takes Reuven to Bezdin. Bezdin rules in Levi's favor, gives him a document that basically gives Levi the right to go searching around for Reuven's property wherever it might be, and if he finds, wait, so what was that? So ad dematra drachta liyodin. So at that point, when Bezdin writes this document and which calls an adrachta and gives it to Levi, that says that he can now collect from any of Reuven's property. If at that point Reuven says, hey Shimon, maybe I could buy the field from you again, it's just because Reuven realizes that he's in a situation that he doesn't want to be in, and that's the reason why he's buying the field from Shimon, not because he's trying to be a good guy. Rav Papa Amar Ad Damaskalon Yomei Achrazta. Rav Papa says it's one step further, which is that Levi had taken Reuven to Bezdin. Bezdin wrote this document that says that Levi can collect any of Reuven's properties if he finds them. He found the property belonging to Reuven. They then went to sell it and, you know, made an announcement that this field is being sold. At that point, Reuven says to Shimon, hey, why don't I buy the field from you? It's not genuine at that point. Okay? Maskiflo Romi Bar Chome. Romi Bar Chome asked the kasha. Michde. Hayle keyach b'may koni la'ar. Ho. How is Levi actually acquiring this land, right? Because Reuven stole the field from Shimon, sold it to Levi. So obviously Levi doesn't own it at that point. Reuven stole it from Shimon. It belongs to Shimon. Reuven then buys it from Shimon. Great. So I guess technically it belongs to Reuven. How does it belong to Levi now? Well, I guess at the time that Reuven sold the property to Levi, when it was still stolen, there was a document. So that document, but that document is irrelevant. That document was written for an illegal and invalid sale. So Amalei Rava says, Rava tehebe maimino. Well, it's based on the trust that Levi puts in Reuven. I don't know. It sounds like Levi probably, I guess, knew, at least at some point, that the field was stolen. But then he puts trust in Reuven that Reuven's going to make it good. Ba'u anoyo, that with that benefit, that hanoa that Reuven has, the loka omar le midi, that Levi didn't give him a hard time, and instead, because samichale, Levi relied and put his trust in Reuven. Tarachu maisile, gomer maknile. That mini ba'etzem, Reuven doesn't want to let down Levi. That's how I understand it. That right there. Reuven doesn't want to let down Levi, right? Meaning, Reuven had sold the field from Shimon, sold it to Levi. Levi, maybe, I guess, at some point realized or found out, whatever, that it's a stolen field. Now, Levi's like, wow, this is pretty bad. This is how I'm understanding it. Levi's like, wow, this is pretty bad. Now what? So, Reuven says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And Levi, instead of like giving Reuven a hard time and creating a whole lawsuit and doing all that stuff, Reuven, instead of Levi making a whole big deal out of it, he be'etzem says to Reuven, look, Reuven, I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of things. So when Reuven hears Levi say that he's relying on him, that he trusts him, so Reuven's like, all right, I got this. And he goes to Shimon and he buys the field, and Kilu, Reuven's sort of approach and perspective in this whole thing is like, look, Levi's relying upon me. I'm going to buy this field from Shimon. And once I buy it, I'm being makneh that field to Levi. And from that, at that point, when he buys it from Shimon, it's like a snap sale to Levi. Right? So, Bahu Hanoyo, with that Hano, the loko amar le midi, that Levi did not give Reuven a hard time because Somech Ale, and Levi was relying upon Reuven, that Reuven's going to put in the work and he's going to buy the field and he's going to and it'll be, and Levi will own it and things will be squared away. So Gomer Machnile, Reuven's like, yeah, I got this, and he's Machnile the field to Levi. Most of Rav Sheshes asks a kasha, Masha Irosh Me'aba, Masha Irosh probably Me'aba Mocher Lo. That which I will in the future inherit from my father is sold to you. That when I inherit from my father, it immediately belongs to you. You know, I'm going out to fish or whatever. Whatever my trap catches is yours. It's irrelevant. Okay, now there's another part of the Brisa which I think is less relevant right now, but we're going to ask about it at the end of the Amud. But if he says, whatever I inherit from my father today, Machalach, is sold to you. That which will be my trap today, Machalach, is sold to you. Then it works. But we saw in the Reisha that Be'etzim, if he says, whatever I inherit is yours, it doesn't work. So here when Reuven is saying to Levi, look, I will buy this field, and when I do, it belongs to you, that shouldn't work. I'm remembered by Chomo, and Rami Bar Choma says, wow, what a great guy and what a great question. Wow, that's a great question, Rav Sheshes. Rav says, look, he's a great person, I'll give you that, but this isn't such a great question. The difference is that by Reuven, who stole the field from Shimon and sold it to Levi, the whole point was that Levi's relying upon Reuven. And because there's that sort of aspect of like, you know, Levi's putting his trust in Reuven, that is an important factor in why when Reuven succeeds, it automatically belongs to Levi. Whereas by, you know, whatever I will inherit, I mean, what if his father ends up selling the property and he's never going to inherit it at all, right? So therefore, that's not why it's a good. Therefore, it's not a good sale. That in the case of the field, Levi is relying upon Reuven, that Reuven's going to go and do the work and buy the field so that, you know, it's in Reuven's interest that he shouldn't be a gazlan. He shouldn't be called a thief. He shouldn't be known as a thief. So therefore, that is sort of the glue, or, you know, the enzyme. These are terrible words. That is sort of like the engine or so that's like driving this sale. That's why it works. When it comes to like what I might in the future inherit possibly from my father, that doesn't work. Losom chadaite, you know, the potential receiver is not totally on, you know, all in and convinced, because like, what if his father ends up selling the field before he dies? Shalchu lekame Reb Abba Bar Zavda. They sent the kasha to Reb Abba Bar Zavda. Kilu, you know, on the one hand, we're saying that that Levi owns the field because he's relying on Reuven. On the other, right there, because Reuven's going to buy the field from Shimon. On the other hand, we said that, like, whatever I will inherit or whatever I will catch, right, that isn't a Kenyan. Armalu, Rabbah, Rizabta, Zo, Eina, Tzricha, Lefnim. This Kasha doesn't need to go into the Beis HaMedrash. So there's two ways to understand that. Either it's such a good Kasha, there's no point of asking it in the Beis HaMedrash because nobody's obviously going to know the answer. Or if Fakir, it's a Klotz Kasha, you don't actually need to ask. Omar Ravit, says Ravit, Zotzich Lifnim, Lifnaiflim, Lifnim. Ravit says, actually, I think that this Kasha should reach the Rashi Yeshiva, should reach the highest echelons of halachic opinion, and watch, they will tell you the following. Hochosam Chadaite, Vochalosam Chadaite. Look, I can tell you quite simply, when it comes to the field, Levi's relying upon Reuven, because he knows that Reuven doesn't want to be called a Goslin. This is just simply not the case when it comes to maybe I'll inherit something, maybe I'll catch a fish. Have I don't know if it has to be a fish. It could be. Tzudasi shal chayus ve'ofis shvishal dagim, says Rashi. Yeah, so yeah, any animals, fish, whatever it might be. Okay, fine. Where am I? Have uvda b'pumpedisa. I don't think I skipped anything. This sugya came up in Pumpedisa, the Osva, and they asked the Kasha, they asked Rav Sheshis' Kasha, Amalu Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Zoi Netzich Lefnim, this doesn't need to go into the Beis HaMedrash, either because it's not such a great Kasha, or because it's too good of a Kasha. Amalu Abai and Abai says, Rav Yosef, Tzich Lefnim, Lefnai Lefnim, Lefnai Lefnim, right? No, this Mamash needs to go to the biggest Rashi Yeshiva, and they will tell you, Hocha Samcha Daite, Hocha Lo Samcha Daite. That look, when it comes to the field, Levi's relying upon Reuven. When it comes to the traps and the inheritance, it's too vague. It may never happen. Umayshna Reisha, Umayshna Seifa. How come in the Seifa, when he says, whatever I will inherit today, or whatever I will catch today, why is that? So why does that work? One second. Okay. Why does that work? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan Seifa, Masha Irash Me Abba Ayom, Mishum Kfor Ovid, Masha Talim Tzudasi Ayom, Mishum Kdei Chayev. That the reason why the Chachom say that it works in those two scenarios is because, well, that which I will inherit from my father today, unfortunately, means that his father is extremely sick. And the son, is, you know, looking to have some money to be able to afford to bury his father. So, in the interest of that, the Chachamim say that the Kenyan can happen. Or if a person's saying, whatever I catch today, you know, he might need the money to live. You know, so in that interest also, the Chachamim said that could be considered a sale. Okay, fine. Omar Rafuna, Omar Rab. I should probably stop the video for a second because I might run out of. What I mean by that is that the video on the phone automatically cuts out at a half an hour. And I wasn't sure we'd have it. I was at like 23 minutes. So, but I think we only have a few minutes left until I'm going to take a break because I'm going to run out of actual time before Shabbos. Omar Funo, Omar Rabba, Omar Lachavero, somebody says to his friend, so the shani lo keach, that I'm going to purchase a field. And when I purchase a field, and when I do purchase that field, it belongs to you from now, kona, it works. So, you know, Reuven says to Shimon, look, Shimon, let's flip it around. For some reason, it feels better to me that way. Shimon says to Reuven, I'm going to at some point purchase a field, and when I do, it's yours. Okay, give all of it. Thank you very much. Okay. And now it's yours from now. So Omar Rava says, Rav Mistavim, Milsa the Rav, Besode Stam. So what did I say? Omar Rava says, Rav Mistavim, Milsa the Rav, Besode Stam, that this halacha makes sense if Shimon says to Reuven, you know, Stam, a field. He says, I'm going to buy a field. And when I do, it belongs to you. So in that case, it will be a good sale because Reuven's like, oh, wow, okay, great. At some point, Shimon will buy any a field, and when he does, it'll be mine. Okay, this sounds great. About besode zo lo miyemi de mizavin le niale. But if Shimon specifically says, oh, if I buy this field it will belong to. Reuven's like, all right, what are the chances he's actually going to buy this field? So therefore, it doesn't work. Elohim, but that's not true. Amar Rav, afilu b'sada zo. Rav says, even if he says this particular field, if he does buy the field, if Shimon does buy it, it will belong to Reuven. Michdei, Rav Kaman Amra Nishmaite, based on who did Rav say his teaching? Krimeir, to Amar Adam Makne Davashel Balol. Oh, the Krimeir says that a person can sell something that hasn't happened yet, right? Shimon can say, can make a kinyan right now on some future field that he'll purchase. The Tan is limited by, so Omer Leisha, his kachili the achash eskai the achash chitisgairi. Fellow says to fella, be mukudeshes to me after I convert, or after you convert. Achash eshtachu the achash chitishtachuri. After I convert, or after you convert. Wait, what? After I am freed, after you are freed. Achash yomus, bailech, achash yachlut, lach, levim, yivim tech, yivomech, yivmech, yivomech. After your husband dies, after your yavama, your yavam will be do chalitza. Lachash tamus achosech. After your sister dies, I guess is or was married to her sister. Any mikudeshes? She's not mikudeshes. The Mary mikudeshes. The Mary says she is mikudeshes. So we see that it can be makdav shelo balolam. Well, isha kisada zodamya va'amr mei mikudeshes. And when it comes to being mikadosh a woman, it's also right. Being mikadosh a woman is also like technically speaking, similar to a kinyan on a field. In that, it's something that is somewhat out of his control, right? For a person to be freed, or for her sister to die, or this kinyan happening in some future reality is kind of similar to maybe the seller of the field doesn't want to sell. Right, so there's like this kind of kinyan that can potentially happen over time, and Rav Meir says that it works. So based on that, that is what Rav is saying, that this can work. All right, I'm going to take a break now, and I will see you, I guess, in like a day or two or something.
Omer Shmuel says Shmuel Motzi Shtar Haknoya Bashuk Hua Yachzir Levaylim Dimishim Dechos Levos V'Lelava Ha Shibed. Nafshe, but all right. This is now like 2 days later. Wait. I recorded the other one right before Shabbos on Friday. Now it's now Sunday night, so I got to do my whole like stuff. What am I talking about? That's gonna happen now in the middle of the daf. So sorry. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Amotzi shtar, but shtar knoya bashuk. Yachzur levadav deibishum dekhas of levos v'lova. Ha she made nafshe v'imishum peiro lo chashin lefeiro and ua t'misi defroi mikra avakarele. Oh, I gotta roll up my sleeves. Chaver, I was like, I'm like starting over in the middle of the daf. 1 second. The shaila is, am I gonna record another daf now after this? I think the answer is no, because I'm gonna be too tired. It's like 7 o'clock. Yeah, there's no chance. I think tomorrow's daf is probably gonna be a big one, and it's just gonna be way too late to get started on a big daf, which is kind of annoying because I'm still not caught up from when I was in London. When was I in London? It feels like ages ago. I'm still not caught up, but I'm like a tad behind. I'm like one recording behind. I just need to like sit down for an hour and record it. But it's too late now. So hopefully tomorrow I'll finally be able to get caught up. Akoponim. Omer Shmuel, says Shmuel, Amotze Shtar Aknoya Bashuk. So a fellow finds a Shtar Aknoya. What's a Shtar Aknoya? Shtar Aknoya was like that kind of funny, strange document which basically, Reuven says, regardless of if Shimon actually ends up lending me money, I am committing to paying him $1,000, and if I don't, he can collect from my nechos mishubadim. Right? There's a lien on my property, regardless of if he actually gives me the loan or not. So therefore, if that's the case, so then there isn't actually a concern about, well, maybe the document was written, but maybe Shimon never actually lent the money. Well, the thing is, a shtar aknoya is the actual loan is irrelevant. And if we're turned to, so the only concern would be that, well, yeah, but what if Reuven had already paid it back? So then how can you give the document to Shimon? Maybe Reuven already paid it. So says the Gemara, Omer Shmuel, says Shmuel, Hamotze shtar aknoya bashuk, fellow finds a shtar aknoya bashuk, yachzir levail, you can return it to Shimon. Because why wouldn't you return it to Shimon? Maybe you're concerned that Maybe they only wrote the document that they were going to loan, but maybe the loan never happened. Hashi ben nafshi. But the whole point of a shtar aknoya is that Reuven commits to paying this money even if he never actually receives the loan for some reason. V'i mishum peiron. Okay, maybe we're concerned that it was already paid. Lo chashinun l'feiron. We are not concerned that the document was already paid. De'im iso defroi, because if it was in fact already paid, mikra hava korale. Reuven surely would have torn it up, right? Meaning, Shimon's got this shtar aknoya that says that Reuven owes him $1,000. Reuven pays him the $1,000. Obviously, Reuven's going to tear it up. So it would never have been found subsequently. So from the fact that it's being found, right? So maybe there's a concern that the loan never happened. Well, shtar aknoya is regardless of if there's a loan. Maybe Reuven already paid it back. Well, if Reuven already paid it back, it would have surely torn it up. So therefore, you can return it to Shimon. Omer of Nachman, Abba min Safrei Dayoni Demar Shmuel, that my father was one of the scribes of the judges of Mar Shmuel. Okay, Hava Ve'avino Kivarshisa Kivarsheva. I think Rav Nachman is saying, and I was 6 years old or 7 years old at the time. V'dochainen, I remember the Abba Machrizei Ve'amrei that they would announce and they would say, that are found in Shuk Machne Yehuda, although Rav Nachman was in Nardo, so at least at some point. Maybe it wasn't Shuk Machne Yehuda. Nadrinu Limarayu, you can return them to their owners. If you find a Shtar Aknoya Bashuk, you can return it to Shimon so that he can collect from Reuven. Rav Amram wants to bring a proof from a Mishnah on Daf Chof. Kol Maise Bezdin Arei Ze Yachzir. That any Maise Bezdin shall be returned. What is a Maise Bezdin? We are assuming right now that a Maise Bezdin is a document, a loan document. Says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And what's the Maise Bezdin part? That Bezdin wrote a henpik. Bezdin wrote an addendum on it that says, yes, we have confirmed that this loan took place and that Reuven, in fact, owes Shimon $1,000. And the Edom signed on it. And the judges signed on it. I believe the judges signed on it. So Be'etzim, it's a shtar mekuyim. It's a shtar that we know is real, and that the loan happened, and we're saying that we can return it. Right? It says Kol Maise Bezdin Arei Ze Yachzir. Says the Mishnah Daf Chof that any Maise Bezdin, any Shtar Mekuyim, we want to say, you can return to Shimon Alma Lo Chashinon LeFeiron. So we see, so obviously because it's a Shtar Mekuyim, it means by definition that the loan happened, and in terms of being concerned that Reuven paid it back. Seems that we are not concerned that Reuven has paid it back, since we're saying that it can be returned to Shimon. Amalei Reb Zeira says to Reb Amram, not necessarily. That Mishnah may not actually be talking about what you think it's talking about. It may not actually be talking about a shtar chov that has been mekuyim bebezdin. Masnisim b'shtarei chal tosav adrachto. So says Reb Zera that Mishnah that says that you can return these documents, it's not talking about loan documents that have been mekuyim and based, and that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a shtar chaltosa and a shtar adrachta. What's a chaltosa and adrachta? A chaltosa is that Shimon lends Reuven money. Reuven hasn't paid back Shimon, so Bezdin goes to Reuven's property. And they evaluate his property, and they write a document to Shimon. Says Shimon, look, you know, we've evaluated Reuven's property, and this, and you can collect from it. So in that case, there's no payment, right? So we're saying that if you find this chaltosa, shtar chaltosa, it can be returned to Shimon because there's no concern that Reuven has actually paid it back because there's nothing to pay back. As well as a shtar adrachta, in a drachta would be that we actually don't know that Reuven has a property. So meaning, Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon. He hasn't paid Shimon back. So now we got to go, you know, on a search to find if Reuven owns property that Shimon can collect from. We don't know. So Bezdin writes a document for Shimon that gives him permit. I think what's saying, it gives him permission to go to go and search for a property that may belong to Reuven. That he can go searching for Reuven's property, and if he finds it, he can collect from it. So also, right, there's no concern that it was already paid back because there's nothing to be paid back, right? So Reb Zera says to Reb Amram that Mishnah is not that Mishnah is not does not prove that we're not concerned that maybe Reuven paid him back. That Mishnah is talking about a shtar chatoso, shtar drachto, which are not things that are paybackable. So that's why they can be returned. It is not a proof that a document that is paybackable would be able to be returned. Amar Rove, says Rove, Vahane Labne Peiro, Ninu, what do you mean that these documents are not paybackable? Viho, Amri Nardoi, the Nardanes said, Shumo Hoder Ad Treser Yarche Shatav Amra Memer, Ono Minardoyo Ono Visvira Li, the Shumo Hoder Le Olam. That apparently in Nardo, Reuven would be able to pay to still pay Shimon. So meaning so let's say the Shtar Chaltosa. Okay, Bezdin went, they evaluated Reuven's property, and they said, okay, and they write a document to Shimon. They say, look, we evaluated Reuven's property and you can collect from it. And he does. He collects from it. Now, the Nardain said that for 12 months, and Amemar says even forever, Reuven would be able to, when he comes up with $1,000, he can pay Shimon and get his money back. So therefore, this Shtar Chaltosa actually could be paid back, right? In that, if you find that, right, because Reuven can always buy back his field from Shimon, right? It doesn't just belong to, right, well, technically, I think it does belong to Shimon, but the point is that the halacha is that if Reuven Reuven can buy it back from Shimon, either 12 months or indefinitely. So if that's the case, then technically speaking, a shtar chaltosa, a shtar drachta can be paid back, right? If you have this document, the shtar chaltosa, that says that Shimon can collect Reuven's property, so technically Reuven could have bought it back from him. So it is, in a sense, paybackable, right? If you find this shtar chaltosa, don't just return it to Shimon. Maybe Reuven had already bought it back, and Shimon can't, you know, we don't want Shimon to use it to collect Nachamo. So what happened? So Rav Amram wanted to say that we learn out from the Mishnah about the Maisei Bezdin, that lo chashin in lefeiro, and you give it back to Shimon. Reb Zera says, meh. It's talking about shtar chaltosa, shtar drachta, where we're not actually talking about, which aren't paybackable. Rava says, even Shtar Drachta and Shtar Chaltosa are paybackable, so it does seem that we're saying that even though they're paybackable, you can still give it to Shimon. So it sounds like you could argue that Lo Chashin and the Pharaoh. Where are we? So back in the Gemara, so let's read that again. Rava says, Rava, Vahani Labnei Pharaoh, Ninu, what do you mean that that Shtar Chaltosa and Shtar Drachta are not paybackable? Viha, Amin Ardoi, the Nardain said, Shuma, that this evaluation of the property, Hodra Atresi Archeshata, that Reuven has a year to say to Shimon, look, I want to buy back I want to pay you back and get back my field. Vamra Memer says, a Memer, Anu Min Ardoi, Anu, I'm from Ardoi, Vesvirli, and I hold the Shuma Hodr Le Olam, that Reuven can indefinitely come up with $1,000 and give it to Shimon and say, I want my field back. So therefore, it is paybackable, and it seems that we're not concerned that it's already been paid back. Elo Amar Rave, rather says Rave, Hosom Hainu Taima, the reason why we say in the Mishnah and Daf Chof that by Maise Bezdin it can be returned, Daminim Kuz, we say, Ihu Hu Daafsid Anafshe, that look, if we're finding this Shtar Chaltosa, even if it was paid back, right, so we can be concerned that it was paid back, but even so, even if it was paid back, Reuven you know, cause his own trouble because the Aminan who the Afsid and Afshay to be in the proy Iboy le Limikari the story because when he gave it when he paid it back, he should have then torn it up. Right? So meaning if you find the shtar adrachta, you can return it to Shimon. Aye, maybe it was already paid back. Yeah, okay. Maybe it was already paid back, right? Maybe Reuven gave the $1,000 to Shimon and he can get back his field. But if so, then you shouldn't be finding this document though, because Reuven should have torn it up. So from the fact that you found it either means that Reuven didn't pay back Shimon, or it means that he paid him back, but he was irresponsible by not immediately tearing it up. Inami, alternatively, let's say Shimon didn't have the document to give back, or he didn't give back the document. Lemichtav shtara achrino ilave. Then at least Reuven should say, hey, Shimon, write me a new document that says that you sold the field back to me and that it's now mine, right? So even if Reuven's unable to tear up the document at the time that he paid back Shimon, he should have at least said, okay, Shimon, now that I paid you back, I want you to write me a document that says that, the field is mine now. So, Kilu, if you find this shtar chaltosa, so you should be able to give it back to Shimon because there shouldn't be anything to worry about, right? Either Reuven hasn't paid back Shimon, or he has paid back Shimon, and in which case, why didn't he tear it up? Alternatively, you know, he should have asked Shimon for a document that says that he has purchased it back, in which case, even if Shimon does try to collect the field again, Reuven has a document that says that he purchased it back. So there really isn't anything that we're too nervous about, and therefore it can be returned to Shimon. The Medina Ira lo ba'ina lemehedar. Technically speaking, Shimon doesn't need to give back the field to Reuven. I mean, he's been through enough. Reuven's caused him enough of a headache, right? Right. Shimon lent $1,000 to Reuven, right? Of course, according to halacha, you can't charge interest. So Shimon, out of the goodness of his heart, is lending $1,000. Shimon, out of the goodness of his heart, is lending $1,000 to Reuven. Reuven hasn't paid him back. He goes to Bezdin. Bezdin evaluates the field and gives him a document. He then goes and collects the field. Finally, Reuven says, you know, I want it back. Look, Me'ikra didn't. Shimon doesn't have to give it back to Reuven. It's Shimon's now. But, U'mishim v'asisa yosher v'atov b'enei Hashem hu domer abonon tehader. But because of the pasuk v'asisa yosher v'atov b'enei Hashem v'lekecho, that you should do that you should do that which is straight and good. B'nei Hashem. Okay. That you should do that which is straight and good. So therefore, we say, you know what? If Reuven comes up with the money, give him back his field. That's why the rabbis say, you know, if Reuven comes, gives Shimon the $1,000, he should give back Hilchoch. So therefore it becomes Batsim like a new sale, right? Meaning Maker Adin, Shimon let Reuven $1,000, he defaulted, Shimon gets his property. End of story. Now because of Asiso Yosher Vatov Bene Hashem, so the Chachom say, look, Shimon sell him back his field. But this is a new transaction, and therefore Ibaile Lemichtav Shtar Zabine. Therefore, it makes sense that Shimon should write a new document that he's selling the field back to Reuven. What about by Shtarchov? Right, Rav Amram, I think this is pshat, that Rav Amram initially wanted to say that the Mishnah Daf Chof that says Ma'ase Bezdin Yachzir, right? Kol Ma'ase Bezdin Hareze Yachzir. Rav Am wanted to say that it's talking about a shtar chov, that's mekuyim. But then we said, no, it's talking about shtar chaltosa, shtar adrachta. So what about a shtar chov? Why wouldn't we return a shtar chov to Shimon? So gabi shtar chov, my ikal memory, im iso defroi iboy le mekare, the story. Well, I guess theoretically we would say, well, return it to Shimon because if Reuven had in fact paid it back, he should have torn it up. But that doesn't work as good when it comes to a shtar chov, because emar ishtamute kam ishtamitle, that maybe Reuven was unable to tear it up when he paid it back, because Shimon was being like a little bit shady. Darmele that he said to Reuven, look, lemacha yavne lach, I'll give you the shtar chov tomorrow, da'ashta leisig aboy, I don't have it with me right now. Inami evshite desafa zayerle, or maybe Reuven, who's responsible for paying for the lawyer, or you know, for the notary to write the is that a notary? Notary is like a person who writes documents. Does that a document writer, a scribe in the Gemara? I just feel like practically speaking, nowadays we don't really have scribes. Who writes up documents nowadays? Lawyers, right? But like, there's also someone called a notary. What's a notary? Is like a do notaries also write documents? Because I feel like that might be like a better word than like a lawyer. I feel like a notary is closer to like a sofer than like a lawyer. Lawyers like more stuff. Akoponim. So the person writing the so who's responsible to pay for this document that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000? Reuven's responsible to pay for it, right? Shimon's lending Reuven $1,000. Shimon doesn't also, he's already lending Reuven $1,000, doesn't also have to pay for the notary. So who has to pay for the notary? Reuven, who's receiving the $1,000, but clearly also Reuven doesn't have money, which is why he's borrowing money. So in the event that Shimon paid for the writing of the document, so maybe Shimon's going to say, look, I don't want to give you back this document until you pay, you know, now that you got the money back, I also want you to pay for the fee of the scribe. So therefore, for whatever reason, it could be that Shimon held on to the loan document, which is why Reuven was unable to tear it up. So therefore, when it comes to shtar chov, if you find it, you can't necessarily return it to Shimon, because we do have to be concerned that maybe it was paid back and Reuven simply was unable to tear it up because Shimon wasn't giving it to him. Chevre, that was daf tes zayin. I hope you enjoy. Peace out.